Okay. Pasha Dvarim. Pasha Dvarim, Mishnah Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to recap a great deal of the history of Am Yisrael that we read in beginning in Chumash Shmot. One of the things that he mentions in this parsha is the fact that Reuven and Gad and half of Shevet Menashe get the Yerusha on Abraham Yardin. Towards the end of the parsha, he mentions that they get the Yerusha there. If you go back to Parshat Matot, where the story is first told, and you pay attention to the Pesukim, you find something very strange. At the beginning, who comes and asks to the Yoresh in Abraham Yardei? That's Reuven and Gad. And they're the only ones who are asking, and the whole discussion is only with them. Towards the very end of that story, at the end of Parshat Matot, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu finally agreed with Reuven and Gad. They made the whole Tanai, and he gives to Gad and Reuven and half of Menashe land in Abraham Yadin. Where's the half of Menashe coming from? Why does he give? They don't seem to have asked. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu giving it to them? And of course, the strange thing is, why it's only half? I don't remember where I saw this, so I just assumed this, but the idea was to have a half of the Shevet on one side and a half of the Shevet on the other side as a sort of permanent reminder that the two sides are really one nation. And that was the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with. Reuven and Gad want to be here, we'll have one Shevet which will straddle both sides of the Yardei and will connect the two Shvatim together. Why Menashe? I don't know. Okay, somebody had to do it. If you take a look at the Nitziv at the end of Matot, he asks the question, and he says, if you want to know the answer, look in Chumash Dvarim. Look in this week's Parsha, Parsha Dvarim. Because if you look in Parsha Dvarim, in Perek Gimel, it says as follows, Pasuk Yud Bet, that the Aretz Hazot Yerashnu Be'etahi, מהרוער אשר על נחל ארנון וחצי הרגלד והרב נתתי לרעובני ולגבי. So פסוק י"ב, he says, this is what I gave to רעובן and God. פסוק י"ג, ויתר הרגלד וכל הבשן ממלכת דוד נתתי לחצי שבט המנשה, כל חבל הרגלד לכל הבשן הוא יקרא ארץ רפאים. פסוק י"ג talks about שבט מנשה. Pasuk Yudalid, again about Shevet Menashe. Ya'ir ben Menashe lakach, etc. Pasuk Tedvav, again Shevet HaMenashe. Ulamachin atat yet adyalad. So fine, Yudbet is God and Reuven. Yudgimel, Yudalid, Tedvav is Menashe. What's Pasuk Tedzayin? V'la Reuveni, v'la Gadi, natatim na gilad, v'ad nachal anon, toch nachal ugvul. And then Yudzayin. So Tedzayin and Yudzayin go back to talk about Reuven and God. So you have Reuven and Gad and Yudbet, and then Tetzayin Yudzayin, with three psukim in the middle talking about Chatzi Shevet Menashe. It says in the Tziv, why? If you started with Reuven and Gad, so finish with them, and then go to tell me about Menashe. Why the break? It says in the Tziv, Moshe Rabbeinu saw there's a problem. Reuven and Gad, as great as they were not known to be strong in Limud HaTorah. They were weak when it came to Limud HaTorah. One of the strongest Shvatim, according to Chazal, based on Sukkim and Shoftim and elsewhere, one of the strongest Shvatim in terms of learning was Shevet Menashe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't set up part of Am Yisrael, Me'evar Yardei, unless there's a strong Torah basis there. Without a strong Torah basis, they won't survive as Am Yisrael. So he begins to talk about Reuven and Gad being an Abraham Yardei, and he stops. He says, we can't continue, we can't finalize things until Shevet Menashe is settled in. Because they are going to be the Torah basis. They are going to be the Malamdin, they are going to be the Morei Hora. They are the ones who are going to bring and establish Torah and Abraham Yardei. and only once Shevet Menashe, and I only need half of them to do the job, is settled, then we can finalize with Reuven and Gad. And that's why originally in Parshat Mato, when he agrees with Reuven and Gad, at the end Moshe Rabbeinu brings in Menashe, because he says, I need to have Torah there. Without Torah, it won't survive. And in fact, if you take a look at the whole history of Am Yisrael up until this point, you see that in order for Am Yisrael to develop, to flourish, to survive, there has to be Torah. And it has to come first. We already saw, why did they make a party on the day that Yitzchak was weaned? Was it the Sfarno? What was he going to be doing? Now he's going to start learning Torah. Soon, that's it. Yitzchak is weaned. Now we can start building on Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu is going to Haran to get married, to find a wife, get married, and establish Am Yisrael. Literally, B'nai Yisrael. But he makes a stopover after leaving Be'er Sheva before he goes to Haran. Where does he go? According to the Medrash, he spends 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Shein Ve'Aver. You're going to go start your family. Okay, you up until now you were Ishtam Yoshev Olim, but you have to intensify your learning. You're establishing on yourself. Yaakov Avinu is going towards Mitzrayim. He's coming to meet Yosef. Pasuk says in Parshat Vayigash, that what does he do? Who does he send ahead? Perek Meva, Pasuk Kavchet, Ve'et Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef. Why does he send Yehuda ahead? So Rashi says, Medrash Agada Lahorot Lefanav L'taken Lo Beit Talmud Shemishon Teitzei Horah. You got to establish a yeshiva. There has to be a cheder for the boys, there has to be a Beis Yaakov for the girls, there has to be a yeshiva for this, you got to, before they come, it has to be all set up. Okay, I'm going to come to the tribe and then there's going to be a yeshiva to send my kids to. Of grandchildren. B'nai Yisrael are leaving Mitzrayim after 210 years. It's Shalach et Ami, but there's a very specific destination. The destination is Sinai. And it's going to be before they get to Eretz Kanan. Before they come to Eretz Kanan, they already have to have Torah. Straight out of Mitzrayim, going straight to Har Sinai. It takes a little while to get there, but that's the direction that they're headed in from the very beginning. And so too over here. Reuven and Gad are going to be a neighbor Hayardahim, but there has to be a strong basis of Torah. Without that, Am Yisrael can't survive. I read an article this week. Jonathan Rosenblum was writing. A certain person who was extremely, extremely wealthy individual. He was a big philanthropist, Jewish person. He's a big philanthropist, and he's giving a tremendous amount of money, millions, to try to instill a sense of Jewish identity in Jewish youth, primarily from America. This is one problem. This wealthy person is a Jewish. Declared atheist. Doesn't believe in God. He claims it. And he's giving money to a strong Jewish identity, but there's one thing that's missing in the formula. God, Torah. Together. It's nothing. Jonathan Rosenblum writes, Nebach, this person, he says, is investing millions in an illusion. Because it is impossible to foster Jewish identity, lasting Jewish identity, if there's no Torah. It doesn't last. Take a look at any Jewish community in the world throughout history. Yes, it can last for a generation or two, but beyond that, they'll disappear. If you don't have Torah, then why be Jewish? If there is no God, so you got to be crazy to be Jewish. There's nothing there. So you'll come up with all sorts of nice little slogans, and it sounds good for a while, but at some point, somebody's going to realize that the emperor has no clothes, and there's nothing to be connected to. So we'll go off and do something else. Never hunt such a person. Approaching the 9 days. Famous Gemara in the Masechet Gittin, the whole story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at the time of the Churban, just prior to the destruction of the second base of Midrash, there was already the Roman siege around Yerushalayim, so he smuggles himself out of Yerushalayim. Pretends that he's ill and then very sick, and then that he dies, and his family didn't carry him out, because they wouldn't let anybody out. And he goes to meet the Emperor Vespasian. He wasn't yet emperor, he was then just the general. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai greets him as the emperor, and he says, I can kill you. You can't call somebody who's not the emperor the emperor. So he says, you may not be the emperor, but you're about to become the emperor. And as he's talking, a messenger comes from Rome and saying, the emperor has died, and the senate of Rome has chosen you to be the new emperor. Hail Caesar. So Vespasian says, okay, what do you want? And so he asks for 3 little presents. He asks to spare the family of Rami Gamliel, household of the Nasi, to find a cure for Rabbi Tzadok, who has fasted for who knows how long, and to obtain the Yavne of a Chachamah. I want to set up a little yeshiva in Yavne, so let me set up the yeshiva with the rabbis there. All 3 requests are granted. Vespasian must have thought that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lost his mind. In fact, there's an opinion in the Gemara, which says, why did he ask for the Beis HaMikdash? I didn't think it was going to be granted, it's whatever it was. But when he asked for those 3 words, 4 words, Tehli Yavne v'chachameh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saved Am Yisrael for the next thousands of years. Because if there'll be a basis of Torah, Am Yisrael will survive. And that basis of Torah was the yeshiva in Yavne, that we are its spiritual descendants. That saved Am Yisrael. Because that's the message, that without Torah, we have no chance. And with Torah, we survive. And even Lassid Lavo, when we say at the end of Shemon Esrei, Shibana Beis HaMikdash B'mehir V'yameinu, it's not that the Beis HaMikdash will come to replace Torah, Chas V'Shalom. Shibana Beis HaMikdash B'mehir V'yameinu attain Chokein of the Soul. On the contrary, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash will only strengthen Torah. Because it's the Sanhedrin HaGadol, which sits at Lishkas HaGadol, on Harabayis, right in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, the combination of the two, if Yom Yisrael not only survive, but Bezos Hashem flourishes.